A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. As your fellow workers, we beg you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, on a day of salvation I have helped you. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." We avoid giving anyone offense so that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, in all that we do, we strive to present ourselves as ministers of God, acting with patient endurance amid trials, difficulties, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, and riots. As men familiar with hard work, sleepless nights, and fasting, conducting ourselves with innocence, knowledge, and patience in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love, as men with message of truth and the power of God, wielding the weapons of righteousness with the right hand and left, whether honored or dishonored, spoken of well or ill. We are called impostors, yet we are truthful. Nobodies, who in fact are well known. Dead, yet here we are alive. Punished, but not put to death. Sorrowful, but we are always rejoicing. Poor, yet we enrich many. We seem to have nothing, yet everything is ours. The word of the Lord. The message that I gather from this memorial of St. Anthony of Padua for Dominican preachers is, always be prepared to preach, lest the task be left to some unknown Franciscan who thereby becomes one of the most popular saints in the Western Church. That's what happened to St. Anthony. He was born to a rich family in Lisbon, Portugal, and against his family's will, at the age of 15, entered the canons regular of St. Augustine. The monastery he entered was well known for its scholarship in Scripture, and so he got a solid theological training and was finally ordained and then put to work as guest master. Now, in light of his later fame, we might well ask, why was he given the role of guest master? Well, in fact, Fernando, as he was then known, was always a sickly lad, and no one expected very much of him. But in his role as guest master, he encountered a group of Franciscan missionaries on their way to Morocco to evangelize the Mohammedans. They no more than got to Morocco, then they were martyred, and the cortege, bearing their relics, came back through Lisbon and stopped off at the monastery, and meeting them and hearing the story of these Franciscans, Fernando was inspired to become a martyr himself and wanted to join the Franciscans, and he got permission to do it, but at first the Franciscans didn't want him. He seemed too sickly to be a missionary, but finally a hermitage near Padua, Italy, did accept him and assigned him to kitchen duties. Sometime later, there was a big gathering of Dominicans and Franciscans for an ordination ceremony. Well, the Franciscan hosts naturally thought that the Dominicans would preach, since they were well known for their preaching and prepared for it. But the Dominicans who came said that they weren't prepared to preach. And they had expected the Franciscan hosts to preach. But the Franciscans didn't feel prepared for preaching on such a momentous event. But finally, the Franciscan minister asked Anthony, as he was now called after he joined the Franciscans, if he would preach. He refused at first, but the minister insisted, I think perhaps because he recognized that Anthony did have theological training from the Augustinians and might very well be more prepared to preach than anyone else that they had. So Anthony preached. Well, his sermon was so spectacularly successful, not only in the solidity of its content, in its form, but it's also by the power of his preaching, the power of his voice, the power of his approach, that he was immediately assigned from kitchen duty to preaching in northern Italy. And it was in that capacity as a preacher that he came to the attention of Francis himself, who was still alive. Now, Francis, up to this point, was very reluctant to give education to his friars because he was afraid that it would diminish the place of poverty in their lives. And of course, Francis's first charism was poverty. But when he met Anthony and heard his learning and the direction that he took, which was so much akin to Francis's own, he made Anthony the first teacher in the Franciscan order. And although Anthony went on to teach in several universities, it wasn't there that he gained his fame. It was in his preaching. He preached throughout northern Italy and in southern France. His preaching was known for its power, its clarity, and also for the many miracles that were reported in consequence of the preaching. His career didn't last long. He was, as I've said, a sickly fellow, and he died of dropsy by the time he was 36 in 1231. Within a year of his death, Pope Gregory IX proclaimed him a saint, simply because he was so vastly popular as a preacher wherever he went. In today's first reading, St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, but specifically to his companions Timothy and Apollos, to whom he had entrusted the mission in that city, Paul urges them to act with patient endurance amid trials and difficulties. As men acquainted with the message of truth and the power of God, nobodies who are, in fact, well known. I don't think there is a line in Scripture that applies to St. Anthony more than that. Nobodies, unrecognized, and yet, when the opportunity came, capable of speaking the Word of God in the power of God. Someone who became, by God's power, well known. It wasn't that Anthony didn't aspire to something great. He, after all, left the Augustinians for the Franciscans because he wanted to be a martyr. But it was certainly because of the power of God working in his teaching, in his preaching, and through his miracles that it became known throughout the Western Church and popular. I was, as a lad, very forgetful, always losing things and always praying to St. Anthony, as many of us probably have. So from Anthony's life, I would advise all preachers to be prepared. Yes, but not just for a particular sermon. Be prepared, as St. Paul urges us today, by trials, hard work, and patience in the Holy Spirit, so that, like Anthony, we might seem to have nothing, but in fact, everything may be ours.